This is the Outlap F1 Podcast, featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap! Welcome into Season 5. This is episode number 23 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. As always, we are proud members of the Ship It Studios Podcast Network, and this is our 2023 Belgian Grand Prix race preview. You've got Andy, and I'm along with, there he is yet again, my friend Cody tonight. Cody, it's good to see you. I love the Red Bull cap that you're sporting, and how's it going?
Mm-hmm. It's going really well. Glad to be back on again on the regular, just in time for a summer break coming up here. But yeah, it'll be fun to get a couple more in here, especially since Spa is one of my favorite races of the season. And yeah, I brought back the Red Bull cap. I am gunning for Red Bull to break as many records as they can this season. So I'm in support of that today.
Well, you're on track. You may get your payoff if form continues to hold. Yikes. So we'll have to see. But if you're here, welcome along. And you can find our show. I'm still calling it Twitter. I don't care. He can put whatever he wants on it. It's Twitter, damn it. So you can find us there. And you can put in whatever you need to do to get there. Instagram, Discord, Reddit. I have started Threads. I'm working on getting that up and going as well. Reddit and, of course, YouTube at Outlap F1 Podcast is, I'm pretty sure, our handle across the board. Threads, I think if you just search Outlap F1 Podcast, you will find our profile there. See the link tree. It doesn't have the Threads one yet. I'll work to get that up there. But see the link tree in our show notes to find us where on all of these different platforms. If you happen to be watching us on YouTube, do us a solid. Click the like and subscribe button. Or if you're on your favorite podcasting apps, please do click the 5-star button. It does help us come up a little bit better in searches and helps us get our content to you that much quicker. You can email our show, chatnow@outlapf1.com. We'll take you there. The wonderful website, www.outlapf1.com, will get you there. As just a general thank you to everybody who continues to support the show, our monetary supporters, Dean Warwick, Yuri Dolchester, Paul Weaver, Quentin Warden, Kevin Kelly, Regan Stanzik, Timothy Brown, and of course, Jonathan Scott. Big thank you to all of those. If you'd like to become a member of what we lovingly call the hashtag Outlap F1 Nation, please see our link in our show notes. It's our anchor page, $5. All goes back into trying to make the show better. We've made a lot of improvements over the course of the last couple of years. We'd like to continue to do that. So, yeah, anything, if you are so inclined, we will be most grateful. You can always take advantage of our code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP. That'll get you 20% off and free shipping from the good folks at Manscaped. Check that out if you are so inclined as well. And our final sponsor, the F1Guy.com, our buddy Vincenzo Landino, who's been on a couple shows before. He has a shirt line. It is good F1 quality merch at not necessarily the F1 quality price. So go ahead and check that out. And I think you'll like what you see there. All right. So we will now hop into a little bit of news. When you have these back-to-back weekends, it's tough to get a lot of necessarily breaking news unless you have big changes in the driver lineup or big, you know, or big movement one way or another. So not a ton of that. But one of the stories that did come out today, it was announced from Formula One that all 10 Formula One teams will have an F1 Academy driver in the 2024 season. So they will have not only the support of a driver, but they will actually have a branded car. So it will look like their F1 type entrance. So each of the 10 teams will have a car that looks very similar, at least in livery, to the F1 the F1 car. We have 15 total entrants, and then 10 of those will be nominated by the F1 teams. Each team will have their livery on one car with the details on which driver and which liveries to be confirmed by the teams at a later time. The remaining 5 drivers are set to be supported by other partners. There are already 5 F1 Academy teams already in existence, so I would assume it would come from them. And then the final 2024 lineup will be revealed later on. Susie Wolf had some nice comments. She said, first and foremost, I want to thank Formula One teams for their support and vision as we embark on this journey together. This landmark moment not only demonstrates the support or the depth of support for F1 Academy from across the F1 community, but will inspire a whole generation of young girls to realize the opportunities both on and off track in motorsport. All right, so I've said a lot. So, Cody, what's your thought on all of this? Looks like it's a good step in the right direction, I'd have to think.
Yeah, I'm really excited for F1 Academy. I was a pretty big fan of the W Series. You and I actually got to see the W Series race when we went to Formula One at COTA in 2021. I thought it was an interesting race. I know that you had had you guys have had Sabre Cook on the show before, which is really cool. We did get to see some pretty good action when we saw the race. Fortunately, we did see one of the drivers go up over the sausage curb and then break one of her vertebrae, which was unfortunate, but in a way, exciting. And I was kind of sad to see that the W Series was petering out, but it's essentially coming back renewed, it seems, as the F1 Academy. So really exciting to see this happening. Do you know if there are any drivers that were in the W Series that are coming back in F1 Academy?
It would be on the younger side of what I've seen from the F1 Academy roster. Pretty much, I don't know if the Americans... I don't think the American that was in W Series, that was Chloe Chambers. I don't think she's in the F1 Academy, okay. But there were some familiar names that I kind of remember. And I went, oh, I think she was in W Series. So, but that's the whole point, is to get these young women, you know, some exposure, a chance to be on display in front of F1 team principals, F1 management, to say, hey, you know, these people are worth taking a look at. So I think in that step, this is a great move. I do like what I'm seeing. I know there was a lot of when F1 Academy first came out, because they kind of did it in a bit of a rush because W Series folded really quickly. They didn't get the TV deal all set up. They don't have live streaming, which of course makes everybody, mm-hmm. you know, a lot. There was a lot of, you know, turmoil about on social media about it. But I think if you look at it from what they're actually trying to do and the vision that now you're trying to see come together, this is kind of how it's going to work. They're going to be at one at F1 venues. That's a big deal. Two, part of the overall F1 show, pretty much wherever F1's going to go, which is also a big deal. And then I think these will have the ability to travel and do some of the flyaway races, which F2 and F3, other with the exception of Australia this year, aren't doing. So, you know, mm-hmm. In terms of a support race thing, That's a really good thing, because I think in some of the flyaways, I know at COTA last year, they really didn't have a lot of really good support races. So unless it was the F1, there really wasn't a whole lot else to kind of keep you in terms of the on track. Now, there's plenty of things to do at COTA. I'm not suggesting that they skimped on anything and they haven't. But yeah, I think it's a good thing overall, and it'll hopefully get these younger girls some exposure, which is what the whole thing is supposed to be.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And I'm looking forward to potentially getting to see the NF1 Academy race at COTA this year. So it'll be really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I am as well. We'll get to see, hopefully the first generation, and then the ones to come, the next generation of up and coming female talent, which we all know is out there. So it's good to see. All right. So next story in our docket, Formula E champion coming back for a little bit. Stoffel Vandoorne will actually get back behind the wheel of a Formula One car next week. He is set to drive for Aston Martin, the AM23, for the post Spa-Francorchamps Pirelli tire test. So he will get some F1 seat time, which is, I think, the first time since he left McLaren back a few years ago. So good for him. Does it mean anything? I don't know in terms of a future F1 driver, Stoffel's, you know, next aspirations, but it's interesting to see that, you know, at least they're looking at him.
Yeah, I don't exactly see Aston Martin kicking out Lance Stroll for Stoffel Vandoorne, although I do have to say, kind of in a bit of a coincidence, I was trying to get my F1 fix post-Japan. It was kind of looking through some, you know, history of how drivers are coming up and through the junior ranks up into Formula One. And I never realized that in the season Stoffel Vandoorne won F2, just how dominant he was in that season. So I guess it's really a shame that we never got to see him in a better performing car during his time in F1. And it's really too bad that he kind of got shuffled out because of that. And it's probably never going to, like you were saying, probably never going to make it back to a full-time seat in F1 unless the cards fall, you know, in his favor really, really well. But yeah, exciting to see him, you know, at least getting some work back in an F1 car and getting to contribute in that way.
Yeah, I mean, with Nick DeVries being out after 10 races, I think that pretty much is going to kill the scout's eye on Formula E. And I heard actually a really good, who was it? It was Connor Daly, went on one of the national shows and was really forthright about Nick DeVries and that whole situation. And he said pretty much something to the effect of, look, Formula E, whether you like it or not, is the slowest form of the major motorsports right now. It just is in terms of relative pace. Now, you know, it's on a street track. They make it so it doesn't look like it's slow, obviously. But when you're expecting that type of skill to translate back into a much quicker car where the corners come at you a lot faster is expecting a lot. Now, Nick was one of the best at Formula E when that year that he won the championship, and Stoffel Van Dorn a couple years ago won the championship and is still the defending champion, but he's not going to win this year. It's more than likely going to be Jake Dennis of, I think, Andretti this year is the favorite going into the last race. But, you know, it's just such a different skill set between the two. So hopefully, you know, I think Stoffel's a very talented driver. I thought he kind of got Fernando Alonso bullied a little bit in terms of like car setup when he was with McLaren, because it was pretty much the Alonso show trying to get that Honda engine to work and it never worked. And then Alonso got pissed off and then he left. And, you know, we all know kind of what happened after that. So, you know, I don't know if this leads to a shot, but it's stuff like this. It's seeing Formula E drivers back in. This is how Nick DeVries got his shot, was basically a test session or, you know, a free practice here and there. So if it can happen, I hope it does. I think he's still a very talented driver, and I hope he puts his name out there. I hope he equates himself well, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's how Danny Ric got his foot back in the door, so I guess anything's possible.
Yep, for sure. All right, so focusing in on a little bit of this weekend, we know many teams have brought lots of different upgrades over the course of the last few weeks. One team that has also brought upgrades but is bringing yet another one is the Alpine team, and they just need to get past the first corner of a race. I think will be a successful weekend for them, especially after last week. But they are bringing a new floor design to this weekend, and according to Alain Permain, when asked about these upgrades, he said that the floor is supposed to be independent from the front wing, and it's important because they need to keep putting downforce on the car and moving forward and going faster. So very important, not linked to anything, but they think it's going to be a very significant step for us. And then they said that there's also going to be a bigger upgrade for Alpine, large upgrade expected for Singapore, but he also thinks that there'll certainly be some smaller stuff, for example, in Monza as well. So Alpine getting on board with the pivots of concept and the upgrade packages coming through, could they then make another step? We've got, I think, really five teams, basically. I think you said it really well in the last review, where you've got the power five right now pretty much locking out the points. Can Alpine kind of get themselves back into this thing? So, Cody, what's your thought?
I would love for them to get back into it. You've got two pretty hungry, talented drivers sitting at that Alpine team. Ocon and Gasly are both really good, really French. I think they would be great competition for each other and would make for a really exciting rivalry if the car was there a little more and they were actually fighting for points on the regular and, you know, not getting taken out of every race like they did last time. But I think it would be really awesome if we also had six teams that were good enough to be fighting for strong points-paying positions on the regular, because, you know, I guess it was kind of the same when you had less teams that were really dominant, like when it was just, you know, Red Bull, Mercedes, and Aston Martin. I guess you still have those, you know, four other points-paying positions that could be fought for by other midfield teams. And, yeah, with the recent development of McLaren, you really have five teams now that, unless gains are made by the other teams, they're really going to be locking out those points most of the time. And it's going to be really hard for teams like Alfa Romeo, unless they have performances like they did last week, to claw back enough points to change their position throughout the rest of the season. So I guess bringing it back to Alpine, though, I think they're the midfield team that has to make the least amount of gains to get back into the points. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what this upgrade will do and if they'll, you know, be able to at least compete with Aston Martin, who seems to be sliding back a little bit as they're maybe focusing on their car for next year. It would be nice to see if they could at least compete for those last couple points paying positions.
Yeah, definitely. You know, regarding Aston Martin, there was an article actually that I didn't put it in here, but it was on Motorsport that kind of asked that same question, you know, what's up with them? And from their perspective, it was kind of what we kind of said on our review, where they were really the first to make the jump and everyone else has kind of jumped through them. They haven't really lost pace. It's that everybody else has really gained a lot more than where they are. So they're not, they don't feel, at least at this point, that they're significantly behind. They're very obviously happy with the points haul that they've gotten so far. They are going to bring an upgrade. I think right after the summer break, they said they wanted to get a set of upgrades onto the car for Zandvoort that they think will get them hopefully back in line, or at least where they think, you know, back in line with these other upper midfield teams. I guess you really can't, I don't know if you call who you call everybody other than Red Bull. I would guess basically call them the upper midfield at this point, because they're not necessarily challenging for wins, but they're not, you know, battling for 10th either. So, you know, they're trying to get back into that fight. So, you know, we'll have to see kind of how that plays out. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely going to be another step. But to anybody who thinks that they've lost pace, the relative pace, and I think the data analysis that they've done has shown that that's not the case. All right. So we will drop our green flag. We will get into our Spa-Francorchamps track facts. They are brought to us by the good folks at Pirelli Motorsport. Cody, take it away.
Okay, this weekend we are racing the Belgian Grand Prix at the Circuit Spa-Francorchamps, located in Estavelot, Belgium. Number of laps around the circuit is 44. Track length is 7.004 kilometers. That's 4.35 miles. With a total of 19 turns around the circuit. Tire selection from Pirelli for this race is the C2 hard compound, C3 for the medium compound, and C4 for the soft. So the middle set of tires, essentially. Track characteristics from Pirelli are traction 4 out of 5, asphalt grip 3 out of 5, asphalt abrasion 4 out of 5, track evolution 3 out of 5, tire stress 5 out of 5, so pretty hard on the tires here. Braking 4 out of 5, and downforce levels of 2 out of 5. The qualifying lap record around Spa's current configuration is a 1 minute 41.252 seconds. That was set by Lewis Hamilton driving that ever so dominant Mercedes in 2020, while the race lap record was set by his teammate Valtteri Bottas in 2018, also driving for Mercedes. And that was a 1 minute 46.286 seconds. Most wins around at this revered circuit goes to Michael Schumacher with 6 wins at Spa throughout his career. Just behind him, also one of the greats, Ayrton Senna with 5 wins. In fact, it looks like we've got a lot of greats on this list. Number 3 is a 3-way tie between Jim Clark, Kimi Raikkonen, and Lewis Hamilton, each with 4 wins around Spa. And then in fourth place, a tie between Juan Manuel Fangio, Damon Hill, and Sebastian Vettel, each with 3 wins. Most constructor wins around this track, probably nobody's surprise based on that Schumacher stat, Ferrari with a whopping 18 wins around Spa, followed by McLaren with a very respectable 14 wins. Third place is Lotus with 8, fourth place Mercedes with 7, and fifth place is a tie between Alfa Romeo, I'm guessing the old Alfa Romeo, and Williams with 4 wins each around Spa. What's the circuit like, Andy?
All right, so Spa is among the Formula One drivers' most loved tracks, with its mix of long straights and challenging fast corners that allow them to push their cars to the edge of their capabilities. That is, of course, if it's dry. The size of the track and the nature of the Belgian weather can mean that it can be raining in one part of the track and dry on another, so the grip can vary from one corner to the next. As always, keep your eye on the thrilling Au Rouge, arguably one of the most famous sequence of corners in the world, as the drivers flick left, right, and up the hill through Radion. As for that Belgian weather, and it looks like we are in store to have weather be a possible major factor, especially given the fact that this is a sprint weekend. Friday qualifying. A light, steady rain early. Showers with perhaps a rumble of thunder developing in the afternoon. High 68 degrees. Winds out of the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 90%. Locally heavy rainfall possible. Where have we heard this before? Saturday sprint. Again, a steady light rain early, showers with perhaps a rumble of thunder developing later in the afternoon. High of again 68 degrees Fahrenheit. Winds out of the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of rain again 90%. For the race day on Sunday, it's a little bit better. We've got considerable cloudiness with occasional rain showers. High of 64 degrees Fahrenheit. Winds out of the west southwest at 10 to 20. So a little more gustier winds, that could actually play a bigger role even in the rain. Chance of rain is listed at 60%. All right, so how do we get all the sessions in? We've got with it being a sprint weekend, every session is meaningful. So what ends up happening is going to probably be a lot dependent on the weather. So this could be a very fungible weekend. We could see some odd session times. You know, you show up for a session and then you do a bit of waiting for the track. So we'll have to see kind of how this all plays out. But, you know, hopefully they get everything in. Let's hope they get everything in clean. And I don't want to have another repeat of 2021 where we're sitting around for 4 hours on a Sunday morning.
Nobody wants a repeat.
And then they call it and then they say, well, we tried.
As you were going through your weather forecast there too, I was making the connection. I'm like, wait, it's sprint weekend. The qualifying for the Grand Prix is on Friday. Mm-hmm. I had to knock a couple seconds off of my pull time guess.
Yeah, I actually, when we get there, I actually did reference the 2021 times because I'm like, well, it might just be like that all over again. But that is a great segue. We're going to take a quick break. We will reset, and then it's back. It is finally back. Our Choose Your Champion predictions game. I've tried to do as much research as I could to try to figure this out and catch on up. So come on back, and we'll break it all down and get into it.
You are listening to the Outlap F1 Podcast, and we'll be right back after this quick pit stop.
All right, welcome back. This is season 5, episode number 23 of the Outlap F1 podcast. It's our Belgian GP race preview. It's the last race before the summer break. It's kind of weird having Belgium before the summer break, but that's kind of how the calendar has fallen out this year. You've got Andy, and I'm along with Cody tonight. And as I mentioned before the break, it is back. There is the Mortal Kombat theme music. It is time. The predictions game is back. We've all been doing our research. Let's see what this week will bring.
Let's see if I can establish a Max Verstappen-esque reign of dominance.
Well, all right. I got to get out of the Lando Norris feeling of P2 being good enough. So, all right, here we go. We will start with the pole sitter. Last year's race, to no surprise, the 2022 pole sitter was Max Verstappen. I think we have universal agreement here. Cody, I'll let you go first, and then I'll chime in. What you got?
Yep, I'm going once again with Max Verstappen on pole. I suppose if there was, you know, a race where that could get mixed up, it would be one where it's potentially going to be really wet during the qualifying, but Max Verstappen is also a really good driver in the wet. So, with how dominant he was in the Red Bull at the circuit last year, where, you know, I guess they're better in the racing trim, but with how far he won from ahead after finishing like middle of the pack, 14th or whatever it was, I'm thinking he's going to be equally dominant this year. So he is my prospective pulse there.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what the rain does. I mean, we read the forecast. It looks like it's definitely going to be wet. Is it a drying track? Is it just starting to rain? When and where does that weather hit is going to be a big, big story, especially on Friday. But I don't see anybody taking it away from Max. I think he's just got that little bit. It's definitely closer on over one lap pace. But here in these conditions, I think he's just too good for the rest of the grid right now. So I got Max Verstappen on the pole as well. All right, so one of the things that will be interesting will be the lap time. The dry qualifying last year saw a 143.665. Again, as the weather forecast said, it looks like it's going to be wet, so it looks like we both made adjustments here. Cody, what you got for a lap time?
I went with considerably slower than the dry time last year with how wet it's going to look. I actually, like I said on the earlier part of the show, I knocked a couple seconds off of my prediction because I didn't realize, you know, I forgot with the sprint weekend, the qualifying was going to be on Friday. So I was like, oh, you know, Friday is supposed to be the worst weather, but it shouldn't be too big a deal because it's just practice. And then as you were going through the forecast, I was like, wait a minute. So I knocked off a couple seconds and I'm going to go with a 1 minute, 52 seconds flat.
All right, 152, we'll lock that in. So I went back and looked at the 2021 times because that was a horrifically wet session. And from what that weather forecast says, it might just be a horrifically wet session. And it looked like the times kind of got to, in what was still fast, slightly faster cars, was about a 156.7 was about the pole of that race. So I'm going a little bit faster. I'm going to go 156.585. So I'll go slower than you, but we'll see. We may have to do the delta, especially if it ends up like a 154 time or something. We'll have to see who ultimately yeah. gets the point here. But we will now flip.
Calculator.
We will then go into the sprint. We'll go into our sprint podium, which is our extra pick of the weekend. So I'm going to go with Verstappen to take that. I do love the form of one Lando Norris, and I do love the fact that in changeable conditions, he's pretty good. So I'm going to have him for P2, and I think Lewis Hamilton's still pretty good in changeable conditions as well. I think that'll probably suit the Mercedes. This track, I think, suits the Mercedes car a lot better. So Verstappen, Norris, Hamilton is my sprint podium. Cody, what you got?
I have a very similar sprint podium to you. I've got Verstappen taking P1 and Norris in P2 due to his current run of form. I went with the other Mercedes driver for P3, though. I'm going with George Russell on this one just because he's had some pretty good performances here in the past. He did have that that famous P2, but not a P2, but mostly due to the qualifying performance in 2021. So I'm hoping for something like that out of Russell again. I'm hoping he's going to get some good qualifying in the wet again, and that's going to turn into a P3. Well, I guess he'd be doing qualifying on Saturday morning, right? But I'm thinking he's going to be able to turn that into P3.
All right, very good. All right, so we will flip over and look at the race on Sunday. The podium from last year was Max Verstappen, Sergio Perez, and Carlos Sainz was your podium there. Cody, I'll let you go first. What you got for race podium?
Similar to last year, I think the drier conditions on Sunday will play more to Perez's benefit. So I've got Max Verstappen winning, no surprise there. But I've got Perez taking P2 again, and I've got Lando Norris coming in taking that last podium position.
All right, very good. That would be three podiums on the spin for the MCL boys, so I like that.
Fingers crossed.
This is the first time we've done prelude predictions since those upgrades have gotten on both cars. So you know what? I'm just going to go full-bore Papaya Nation right here. I am going to give it to Max Verstappen to take the win, but Lando Norris to come in second, and he gets it done this week. Oscar Piastri to finally make that double podium. Hopefully these are conditions that suit the McLaren car a little bit better. It's definitely going to be cooler. There's definitely a lot better corners for them. Based on what I saw in Hungary, that'll help them with the tire life thing, which is where they were struggling when they were struggling in Hungary. So why not go full bore? McLaren with the second fastest car right now. Let's see what if I can make it happen. So Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, the podium for Sunday. All right, so we will move into our fastest lap and the driver. Again, in the dry conditions, the 2022 time was a Max Verstappen 149.354. I do think Max Verstappen's going to take the fastest lap. It seems like he just goes out and does it and then can cruise all the way home. And until somebody takes it from him, I don't see him not letting that up. It's just how he's built. But I do think we are going to see drying conditions. I think it will probably start wet and maybe move into the dry. So I do have a slightly slower lap time, 153.557 for Max. Cody, what you got for fastest lap and driver?
I've got Max Verstappen taking fastest lap. He does seem to really like that fastest lap point. I think he takes it as his way of being able to show off what he can do in that car. So I think he's going to go for it no matter what. I guess I'm doing a little bit of the prices right with you here. My fastest lap time is only a little bit faster than yours. Trying to pretty much allow for some room for if it gets dry enough and they end up getting a little closer to that time from last year. I'm going with a 1:52.989.
Okay, well, we'll see who wins, and hopefully we don't have
like a 1:52.3.
The fail horn go off on that for both of us. But I have a funny feeling we'll be pretty close between the two of us there. So you could tell Cody and I have been doing this now for a good half of a season, and we've totally rounded into form. And I can tell you why, because we've actually figured out our bonus picks. We both had the same thought. We were both discussing which positions to do bonus picks, and we both said 4, 5, and 6 almost at the same time. So having it being unanimously agreed, I'm going to go with Sergio Perez to go P4, Lewis Hamilton for P5. And don't count out the Ferraris. I think they'll hopefully have a better weekend than the last couple. It's not great for them, but P6, I do have Charles Leclerc sliding in there. So, Cody, what's your thought for bonus picks?
I am completely counting out the Ferraris and don't have them anywhere near the podium or the top spots. So I'm going with Lewis Hamilton coming in fourth place, his teammate George Russell coming in fifth place. And I'm sorry to say that I've got Piastri maybe struggling a little bit in the changeable conditions here. So I've got Piastri coming through P6. Not bad, but not great.
I mean, it's a fair critique. I'm not getting on you for a fair critique. He's still got some experience he's got to get under his belt, and that could be something that he gains a bit this weekend. So we'll have to see. So we go to our prop bet, and our prop bet this weekend, because of the way of the weather forecast, do we see the blue Pirelli full wet tires in the race on Sunday? We will probably see the Inters at some point. I'd have to think. We know everybody likes the Inters. Nobody likes the full wets, but does it get bad enough to where we see the full wets? Cody, what's your thought?
I think no, mostly because it looks like Sunday is going to be the day with the least amount of rain, later in the day, it'll get better. And I think a lot of drivers are going to bank on that the conditions are going to be getting better throughout Sunday. Like you said, nobody likes the full wets this year. Everyone seems to try to use the Inters as much as possible in wet weather. I seem to remember even in Monaco where they got some pretty heavy rain there for a while that people were really trying to not do the full wets if they could. So I'm going to say no. They're going to probably start out on the Inters, and I would say from there move over to dry tires.
All right. So I will differ with you here, and I will say yes for one reason. And that is because if they declared a wet start, which more than likely, according to that weather forecast, is probably what we're going to have, I think it's mandatory that they start on the wets. So even if they only have to run them for a couple laps and then get off of them as soon as possible, but if you have a standing start in the wet, I'm pretty sure the regulations still say they have to be on wet tires. So I'm saying yes, not because I want to see them. I don't think there'll be a strategic reason to have them, but I do think the regulations may force them on, at least at the beginning. So we'll have to see kind of how this goes, but I'm saying yes to the blue treaded wet Pirelli tires for the race on Sunday. All right, so before we hop on out of here, just wanted to let everybody know when and where to watch F1 this weekend. Free practice one, the only free practice of the entire weekend. That starts off 7:30 Eastern, ESPN2. The qualifying session, which is the qualifying for Sunday, that starts out 10:55 a.m. Eastern, 9:55 a.m. Central. That's on ESPN2. I did check to see if ESPN was doing the same thing like they did for Austria, where they were re-showing the qualifying. I didn't see it in there. So it looks like if you miss it, you may have to go to the ESPN app to try to pull it up on demand. Or if you have F1 TV, that's obviously the best way to check that out for a full replay of the qualifying. The sprint shootout kicks off 5:55 a.m. Eastern, a little bit later than the Austrian one, but that's on ESPN2. The sprint itself, 10:25 a.m. Eastern, ESPN2, and the race itself, back to the standard European time, 9 a.m. Eastern, that is on big ESPN. So, yeah, lots of good chances to watch F1. Of course, like I said, ESPN app, ESPN3 for a lot of the expanded like Sky Sports stuff, Ted's Notebook, those types of things. Check those out if you're so inclined to do that. F1 TV, also great. If you want to try to, like I said, if you can't catch it live and want to catch full unknown replays before, you know, check out social media or anything like that, that's usually a good resource because it'll tell you. You can watch from the beginning and it won't tell you what happened. All right. Cody, any final thoughts before we hop on out of here?
I did actually have one thought when we were discussing the wet start. How wet does the track have to be in order for them to do a rolling start? Because I feel like I haven't seen a rolling start in Formula One for a little while now.
Well, that's at the discretion. It's at the discretion of the race director, and it's kind of what they want to do. And usually, if it would have to be really, really wet to want to start with a rolling and have multiple formation laps, because they would want to try to clear some channels to then do that. But I think the preference is, and this may be a Liberty influencing thing too, is to try to get a standing start in whenever possible, unless the conditions are such that it's just not tenable. So, you know, we'll have to kind of, that's something to see. I've not seen a rolling start is effectively basically a safety car type start. But I think it's single file. So I think they want to not have that if they can avoid it. So it'd have to be pretty wet. It'd have to be kind of 2021-esque wet to try to see what they would want to do, or they would do multiple formation laps and then maybe try to bring the safety car in and start the race that way. But yeah, we'll have to see we'll see how the weekend goes. Looks like it could be wet and wild. Hopefully it's not too traumatic. Hopefully we don't have flashbacks to 2021. I hope they get all the sessions in. I hope everybody has a nice, safe, even if it's wet, safe weekend. You know, we have seen some incidents through Al Rouge and Radion in the last couple of years and even this year earlier. So hopefully no problems there. We all get through it and we hop into the summer break with some good momentum.
Agree.
All right. So I guess that'll take us out. So for Cody, it's been Andy. Always fun to do this. And as always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at OutlapF1 Podcast, or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you on the next one.